make sure you're in fellowship as we here now will wrap up the doctrine of prophets and prophecy as we have looked at this subject through the Old Testament, First Advent, and as it's applied to the church age dispensation. In Roman numeral 6 now, we look at prophets and prophecy in the last days, page 6 of our notes. Both the Old Testament and New Testament include prophecy concerning the last days, the eschatology, the doctrine of the last things. B, the Bible makes clear that many false prophets will exist throughout church age history and beyond, as we will get into in the indictment against false teachers that are correlated with false prophets, 2 Peter 2:1, 1 John 4:1. Paul recognizes false prophets in regards to the church. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. How you do so is have the truth of Bible doctrine under the filling of God the Holy Spirit before you, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And then Revelation 16:3. In regards to the epitome of false prophets, the false prophet associated with Antichrist, and I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, that being the Antichrist, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the Antichrist possessed by Satan, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. See, it is interesting to note that Peter's future warning to the church associates false teachers to false prophets that have preceded in history in 2 Peter 2:1. D, this implies that the office and gift of prophecy is destined to become void for 1 Corinthians 13:8 through 10. We'll address that in our notes. E, yet there will be false teachers that claim to be prophets. Matthew 24:11-24. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Christ's prophecy, verse 24. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Mislead believers. Mark 13:22. Again, same parallel. For false Christ, false prophets will arise. And then, again, 1 John 4:1. F, the most notable example, as we have mentioned already, of any false prophet is the false prophet that accompanies the Antichrist during Daniel's 70th week. He is addressed predominantly in the book of Revelation, verses 11 again through 18. It makes a distinction between Antichrist and the false prophet, another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb and spoke as a dragon. Emulated communication of the Antichrist. And he exercised all authority of the first beast in his presence. And he made the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. As we went through all that. And the resuscitation of Antichrist, of Alexander the Great, as our prime candidate, as the Antichrist, and this Jewish male that will function on his behalf, false prophet. And he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which was given to him. As we were warned in the Old Testament, it may be a difference what kind of signs may be associated with them. If it does not align with sound doctrine, you mark them off. They're false. But many will be taken in because they do not adhere to the truth of doctrine. Telling those, verse 14 continuing, who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had wounded the sword and has come to life. There was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast might even speak and cause many who do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. and he causes all the small, so the false prophets behind all this that you're seeing going on in conjunction with the Antichrist, obviously. Direct correlation. He causes all the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free men and the slaves to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and provides that no one should be able to buy or to sell except the one who has a mark, either the name of the beast or the name and number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number of that is that of a man. His number is 666. Also 16:13, as we read that, and then 19:20, regards to the destiny of the false prophet along with Antichrist, the beast of the seas, and with him the false prophet performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast, and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. They get to be the first inhabitants of the lake of fire because of their role in human history. In 2010, the devil had deceived them, was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet also are also, they're already there. They'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. This Jewish male is the epitome of deception and betrayal towards Israel, and God's elect in a tribulation operating in tandem with Antichrist. Again, passage Revelation 13, verses 11 and 12. Supernatural miracles will accompany his ministry. We saw that in verse 13. He will lead astray the world en masse. The bulk of the world, human race, will follow him as he proclaims this is the Jesus Christ, his return. He is to be viewed in conflict with the two prophets, Moses and Elijah, who also will be resuscitated and on the scene of the tribulation in his first half. And they're referred to as the two olive trees and lampstands that was brought out in chapter 11. Verse 4. In regards to the two witnesses, verse 3, I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1260 days. That's 3.5 years. That's the first half of the trib, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth, the same two that appeared with Christ at the Transfiguration. They are resuscitated, and two will perform miracles. God will give them miracles, validate their message, give them the power to perform them. That's verses 5 and 6. If anyone desires to harm them, if you live in the trib, then this is the guy you want to be a secretary for. Either one of these guys. Now, let me carry your briefcase for you. Here, let me get that door for you, sir. This is truly them, or one of the 144,000 would be another good association. If anyone desires to harm them, until the mid part. And then you're going, I don't know this guy. You'd be doing Peter on them, so to speak. And if anyone desires to harm them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. If anyone would desire to harm them in this manner, he must be killed. These had the power to shut up the sky, to bring a world drought, in order that rain may not fall during the days of their prophesying. And they have power over the waters to turn them into blood and smite the earth with every plague as often as they desire. Wow. Don't give me that kind of power. You guys are way beyond me spiritually. And then compare Malachi 4:5. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet. He is the specifically named prophet that will be a forerunner to the second advent before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord, which begins midpoint. And through deduction, we reason that Moses is the one that will accompany him because they are seen together at the Transfiguration in part. Together the false prophet versus the true prophets. It's designed to note the great battle and the angelic conflict between truth and human or satanic viewpoint. you have your option of which line of thought you want to adopt and adhere to in your life, either God's viewpoint or man's viewpoint, which is that which is antagonistic or out of line with God's viewpoint, sponsored by Satan himself. Again, it highlights the issue behind all communicators adhering to the doctrine of the importance of Bible doctrine as their content of teaching. Scriptures are our anchor and security in regards to recognizing that which is truth versus that which is false. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4, that brings out the issue the importance of Bible doctrine as he charges Timothy, Paul does, Timothy in his capacity as a pastor. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus to judge the living and the dead, even as appearing in his kingdom. Something every pastor is to take to heart, the responsibility and the culpability they assume upon themselves before Jesus Christ himself. As if you're standing before him, as if he was here and saying to you, or being with you and overseeing you. And he's going to respond and react accordingly. It's how serious you're to take it. And the whole issue is in regards to communication of sound doctrine. Proclaim the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For a time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, Operation Q-tip, to titillate their own imaginations, their own desires, their own SCA desires, their own emotions. See, they will amass for themselves, and that's prophetic in regards to last days and the convenience of modern technology. How are you able to amass teachers in accordance to their own lust? Get on the boob tube, get on the internet, order all the tapes you want. I know of people that had these huge tape libraries from all kinds of different pastors, supposedly ICE and otherwise. They think they're spiritually great because they accumulated so much. They're just islands to themselves. They wouldn't say and stick with a local church face-to-face teaching if their life depended on it because they knew it all themselves. That's their problem. And it will turn their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. So we live in that time. And apart from Revelation, the New Testament further provides prophecy as applies even to the latter part, in other words, post-temporary spiritual gifts of the church age. Again, as I brought out earlier, there are those who claim that no prophecy is fulfilled in the church, during the church. And there's more than ample verses to just refute that. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 3. Now we request you, brothers, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you may not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit, a message, or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the falling away literally comes first, and man of lawlessness has revealed the son of destruction. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. Realize this in the last days, perilous times will come. The rampant expression of the SGA. It seems like every day you wake up and you look at the world and you go, the SGA is just being revealed more and more and more. The bridle is being removed in all aspects of it. And it gives a list of SE activity that will characterize people living in the last days. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, 4, 1 through 4, that we read in regards to the importance of doctrine. And people turn away from the truth. James 5, 1 and 6. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. This occurs during the trib. Your riches have rotted and your garments have become moth-eaten. The great merchants of the world, who are the powers behind the powers that are being puppeted in front of us in regards to world powers, the people that manipulate them are the extremely wealthy. They manipulate them through their pocketbook, etc., putting together a new world order under corporate identities. It's all about the money. And they too will meet their judgment. Your gold and silver have rusted, and their rust will be a witness against you, and will consume your flesh like fire in the last days you have stored up your treasure. And that is reference to the nuking of this country we live in, and their wealth will not be immune to the radioactive destruction and corrosion it will cause in regards to their wealth. And then 2 Peter 3, 3 through 8. In regards to the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, falling after their own STA desires, their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. The evolutionists denying creation and the flood, its existence, etc. In spite of all of the empirical evidence that is there otherwise, to prove that the word of God is right. Just like we'll see in 2 Peter, the proof and evidence of Sodom and Gomorrah as an example in regards to homosexual vice, what God thinks about that. And actual archaeological discoveries that point to the scripture as being accurate in that regards, found in Syria, that today the liberals take issue with. That's overrated, what they say they discovered, blah, blah. We'll get into that. That's fine. But the present heavens and earth, by his word, are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly man. He judged them first through water, with water, and promised not to ever do that again, and I'll just get you with fire next time. Light your you-know-what up. Do not let this one fact escape your notice, blood, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years that's one day. So the gift and function of prophecy will again be distributed to non-believers, correlating with the second advent of the Holy Spirit. We read Joel 2:28 first session. All right, back to our text now.